All right, hello and welcome to Medi-Call episode 230. I'm Corey and here's Daryl.
Yo.
Yo, hey, we're back. It's been a little while. We had some things come up in the last couple weeks, so my apologies for going dark on you all, but we're back here. Full disclosure, we are not going to do our part two of Crimson Vow spoilers. It's like so irrelevant at this point because so much more information has come out. So we're just going to move forward. I don't think you guys really care to know about the spoilers for Crimson Vow with three, four new products being revealed in the meantime. But yeah, magic moves pretty fast. If you don't stop to look around once in a while, you can miss it. How have you been, Daryl?
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty good now. Recovering from surgery, but that's why part of why we were gone so long. But now I am shipshape and ready to chat magic, and I've actually been able to sit up for the first time, for a consecutive week and a half.
Damn.
For a while. So doing good.
All right. Well, sweet. So without further ado, let's jump back into it. I mean, we certainly got a lot to talk about. I know Daryl's talking about some Eternal Weekend stuff. And how could we not cover the Alchemy and Unfinity nonsense from last week? So that's what we'll do. But we do have a new promo code from our sponsor, ManaTraders.com. Use the promo code CardKnockLifePodcast_OA7. All right, we need a mnemonic for that one, Daryl. OA7. Oats and seven. Oh.
Yeah.
Ah. Seven.
Oh, my God, please.
Ostrich. Please. Aardvark. Seven. So whatever you want to do. That's all one word.
The pain.
Card Knock Life Podcast, all one word, _OA7. Easy to remember. Just rolls off the tongue. That'll get you 14% off your first 3 months at checkout at ManaTraders.com.
Yes, it will.
All right, let's jump in. So first things first, we got to get this easy one out of the way. Unfinity.
All right, Unfinity. Let's talk about Unfinity.
All right. Unfinity is coming out April 1st, 2022. Oh, my God. How did I do that? We're not going back to 2020, that's for sure. 2022. And, Daryl, do you play many of the unsets?
Never.
Never, yeah. I think a lot of people have the same reaction. Like, there are some beautiful lands in those sets, and they are definitely hot commodities for people, and a lot of people will shell out for the singles to get, like, those basics. Now, nowadays, they release a new, like, promo art land or, like, alternate art land or weird border land every other day in, like, a secret lair or something. So I think the well is, like I've said, the well is running dry a little bit on those. But these ones are really cool. They're, like, very spacey looking. Full art. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know how I'd really describe them aside from that. They're just very, like, neo-futuristic kind of... I don't know, just fantasy art. So super cool. They have like this kind of atom looking shape around the mana symbol. And then you can also get dual lands. There's a whole set of full art dual lands. They're just totally beautiful in here. Steam Vents, Godless Shrine, Temple Garden. They've got the whole 10 in this set. So that's all awesome. Now these packs, these sets are really fun to draft with your friends, but the problem is you get the land out of the pack and you basically throw the rest straight into the trash, because once you've done the draft, there's not a whole lot of value for any of the uncards aside from the lulls of just looking back and seeing the, you know, the little girl and being like, oh yeah, I remember drafting that card, and then there's really nothing you can do with it at that point. But problem solved. These cards now are going to be stamped on the bottom with their little foil stamp. Either an acorn or not. Acorn resembles or represents a card that is not legal in any other format. However, if it does not have an acorn, these uncards, which are in black border for the first time ever, are going to be legal in Legacy, Vintage, or Commander. So there is some play to these outside of the unlimited formats. So,
okay.
Kind of wonky, a little crazy. I know people had some pretty... intense reactions to this kind of thing. The thought of playing the Space Family Goblin Sin or Saw in Half in your Legacy deck rubs people the wrong way. But to be honest, I mean, how far away from that were we with like the Fortnite nonsense in all the secret layers and stuff already, or the Walking Dead, I should say. So
yeah, absolutely.
So Daryl, let me read you a couple of cards, and you tell me if this is even something you'd consider in a Legacy deck anyway. There's only two of them that I've got right now for you. But saw in half is a rare. Two in a black for an instant. Destroy a target creature. If that creature dies this way, its controller creates two tokens that are copies of that creature. Except their base power is half that creature's power, and their base toughness is half that creature's toughness. Round up each time.
Okay. What's the mana cost again?
Two in a black.
Okay. So, that's expensive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't see it seeing play as a fair removal spell. Like, let's just say it that way.
No,
so
not at
all. So the question becomes, is there a way to abuse a comes into play effect to get two copies of it? So, like, you'd want something like almost like a Titan, like a Grave Titan or something. So, like, Archon of Cruelty Reanimator is kind of like the first thing you'd see there. But Archon of Cruelty just ends the game fast enough by itself. You don't really need to saw it in half. Yes, you could do the same thing with Emissary and get like two of those things. But again, you don't really need two Sarah's Emissaries when you reanimate the first one. So, like, you know, these powerful static effect creatures could be useful, or these come into play, but it's just too many mana. If it was like two mana or one mana, I could see it being a thing. But like at three mana, I think it's too much.
Yeah, it's kind of a wonky card. It's probably more like a commander staple, or not staple, but
that
a commander
card will be insane in commander.
Yeah, I like it with the like temporary like reanimator things, like until end of turn, you know, reanimate, where this like puts them into play permanently, and you get two copies of it. So, give me some fun stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
there.
So like in Legacy for your like Necromancy or Shallow Graves type stuff. The creatures you're reanimating are normally like World Gorger Dragon, which you don't want two copies of, or like Gristlebrand, which is a legend. So, I mean, if you're cool with the 4/4 Gristlebrand afterwards, I suppose that's fine. But or like a 3.5/3.5 Gristlebrand, I don't know if it rounds up or down. Yeah. But yeah, I just there's not really much there for me for Saw in Half.
Yeah. Now this next one certainly isn't going to see any play in Legacy or Vintage, but I'll read it anyway. This is one that is potentially legal in those formats. This is the Space Family Goblinson, 2 red-green for a 1/1 legendary creature goblin guest. It's an uncommon. Has trample as long as you've rolled 3 or more dice this turn. Whenever you roll a die, put a +1/+1 counter on the Space Family Goblinson. So it goes into your green-red cracks thumb commander deck.
Except it's roll a die. There's not any non... There's not a ton of non-un cards that roll dice.
Yeah, there's really not enough for that theme yet, but I imagine there's going to be plenty of them in this set that will allow for that kind of thing. There's a commander deck coming out, the precon that will support this kind of idea.
Yeah, I mean, if Dice Tribal is coming, then this is a sweet card for Dice Tribal. Like,
yeah. Just commander. So anyways, general thoughts on this thing. It is a little unusual to have cards as goofy as like Space Family Goblinson in these formats. However, like I said, not too like off the beaten path considering like the territory we've already like been, you know, exploring with the Secret Lair stuff. The only thing is it feels like it sort of justifies like opening those packs for like something more than just the basic land. And like, it just seems so wasteful sometimes to like crack those packs. And like, people are literally just like throwing out the other like 14 cards in them sometimes. Like they just want the basic lands. So there's like some other like reason to be doing that. But now it could be just a feel bad entirely, because is there a possibility that you like just get a rare that isn't legal in Eternal, and then it like you just like lost, you know, like you just lost this luck game and it's just you know, you just wasted your money.
So, yeah, not good.
I don't know. So anyways, it's a little goofy. I don't have the details on how the packs are going to be laid out, but if there's consideration for like, you know, every pack has a guaranteed Eternal playable card in it, that might be a different way to approach that. But that said, if they're going to be like an uncommon or something, like maybe that doesn't matter anyway, because it's just going to be useless. But It's kind of a different take on it, but it's something, you know. So, anyways, keep an eye out for that. There was one card that was introduced a sixth color to Magic that they accidentally, the spoiler card accidentally didn't have an acorn on it. so everyone like lost their shit because they were like, oh my god, seriously, you're gonna add pink to Legacy? And they're like, oh no, 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 that's just the preview card, and we screwed up. Sorry. Like, it was kind of like a clunky rollout to this whole thing with that being the few cards they showed off in the beginning. Like, yeah, he screwed up pretty big time. So anyhow, so there's that. I think the big topic is going to be the alchemy discussion. So maybe we should jump over, since we're on the topic of some Eternal stuff. You want to talk about Eternal Weekend, Daryl?
Yeah. So most people, not a lot of people have access to Vintage. It was online this year. There were three events that fired, both for Eternal Weekend, for Legacy and Vintage. So, in all three of the events, the majority of the top eight decks were all blue-red Delver. I'm just going to pull up one of the random events. Blue-red Delver was in 1st, 2nd, 5th, 7th, and 9th in this event. So, yeah. And that blue-red Delver deck is kind of like Legacy soup, is what I'll call it. Brainstorm, Ponder, sort of the bulk of the cantripping. And then it's basically MH2 Tribal at that point. Three Delver Secrets, but four Dragon Rage Channeler, four Murktide Regent, four Ragavan is the threats. And then four Expressive Iteration. Big cantrip, the extra replacement cantrip that's actually Cardaman Engine. And then Brainstorm, Daze, Force of Will, stuff like that you'd expect. Ponder as well, and then lands with Four Wasteland. Various different sideboard cards. They can kind of be all over the place for these decks, depending on if you want to play like Blood Moons or, you know, their Pyroblast, things like that. It's sort of the same sort of shell of Expressive Iteration, Ponder, Brainstorm, Daze, Force of Will. So there's a lot of discussion for Legacy players of, you know, what has to go to make this format like playable. So like Delver decks, they're literally called Delver decks normally, are playing less than four Delver.
Yeah, I see two in like this one.
Yeah, two, three. It's like a blue red tempo shell basically. Mm-hmm. So they're asking the question, you know, what do we do? What has to go? And a lot of people seem to be of the mind that it's Ragavan. So there's kind of two camps. It's Ragavan, kind of get rid of the new card that's way too busted. Or Daze, get rid of the old card that's way too busted. But that could kind of like, you know, have a large impact on the general shape of Legacy as a format. So like, if you want to just kind of get rid of the flavor of the week as far as like super powerful threats are concerned, you could ban like Dragon Rage Channeler and Ragavan and take care of the two big threats. Like Murktide Regent is not that bad. You play Pyroblast. Like, that's just a card in Legacy, so like people can play that and have the ability to kind of run over Dragon Rage Channeler, Delver and Murktide. I've got Vintage on the brain. Delver and Murktide to sort of get through things. But Daze is sort of the second thing that everyone's saying. So I thoroughly expect, based on what they've been doing recently with Legacy bans, like, you know, they banned Ren and Six instead of banning Wasteland. So I fully expect that you're going to see something of a similar caliber, that they're going to ban the newer cards and kind of let the older cards run wild, so to speak, and keep Daze in Legacy on this one.
Yeah, I know this doesn't affect the decision, but in terms of like what to ban, Ragavan is prohibitively expensive. 410 tickets for a playset of Ragavans. So that gets my vote purely on just availability of, like, you know, cards. When you're looking at it, it's like significantly skewed in the amount of cost in this deck. For four copies of this stupid monkey.
Yeah.
But I do look at this and see a lot of redundancy with these like one mana like three power beaters or two power beaters, and it's kind of insane, like.
The cheap, so it, this is just the true concept of tempo deck that you just see as an existent. It's, here is my undercosted threat that has two or three power, backed up by Force of Will and Daze, kind of the free counter magic. Sometimes you'll see a couple spell pierces or stifles to play the mana denial game, and then a pile of cantrips to sort of find the good cards and avoid the bad cards. So that's kind of where all this ends up. So if you're never going to see something like Brainstorm Ban. Brainstorm is kind of like that. Brainstorm and Force of Will are kind of the linchpins of Legacy, like why people play it. So you're not going to see those get banned. So it's like you ban either the threats or like Daze. That's kind of your like options there. So I have a feeling they're going to continue down their current line and ban like Ragavan and potentially Darrigan's Channeler, because that card provides so much filtering alongside Ponder and Brainstorm that you probably have to give that card the axe too.
Well, how many other decks would that affect? Are there a lot of other legacy decks that are dependent on Rayman?
So there are kind of red decks that will play Ragavan just because it's so good, but like it's such a it like it's a description that's been given to Tarmogoyf. For a long time, Tarmogoyf was called the best blue creature because it was in Legacy, because it was just this really powerful creature. So like all the tempo decks way back in the day, were before Delver was printed, were like Nimble Mongoose, Tarmogoyf, and like literal Werebear. And so Tarmogoyf was just the best blue creature because it was huge and it was cheap. But Ragavan is just like, it's not big, but it's just more blue than Tarmogoyf. It's like, here's some card advantage and a cheap threat. And it's also just insanely hard to kill at times if you just play it in dash mode. Like, if your opponent just doesn't have an instant speed removal, you just dash it every turn and get a free treasure and a free card out of your opponent. And that like that's just not a play pattern that's particularly reasonable for Legacy, because you're stealing your opponent's cantrips. You get an extra Brainstorm or whatever, and you just turned all the crap cards in your hand into good cards, or extra ponders for manipulation and things like that. It's just not a healthy play pattern I can see kind of coming from the monkey.
Well, I'm all for it, but I don't play Legacy, so I really have no say in the
Totally
matter.
understandable.
Anyhow, when I look at this deck, it does look like a lot of fun. It seems like it's right up my alley. And honestly, not too
Yeah, it
far off
seems.
from the modern is it Blitz Ragavan tempo deck type of thing. Because there's not a lot of cards in
No,
here that are
it's
specific to Legacy aside from Wasteland and Force.
Wasteland Force and Dual Lands and Daze. So like your cantrips improve, like as far as expensive cards. If you have Ragavan and Murktide and Dragonrage Channeler, it's Dual Lands, Wastelands, and Forces and Dazes. Like the Brainstorms and stuff are cheap, Ponders are cheap, like you can pick those up. But realistically in real life, if you're playing Legacy, if you can't get a bunch of underground or volcanic islands, play Force Steam Vents, you'll lose a few percentage points and still be fine.
Cool. Well, blazing through here. Shall we transition and chat about this alchemy nonsense?
Absolutely.
All right. So, Daryl, you haven't heard anything about this?
I know it exists. I've seen cards that exist in it.
Right.
I don't know much beyond
Well, I'm excited to be able to share this with you because I will get your unfiltered and unaffected reaction to this, because this is like some pretty big news. You've just been seeing the spoilers then. Okay,
Yeah.
so let me just read right off the page here. It's just a pretty short announcement, so I think I can just like read it verbatim so I don't get any of the facts mixed up. Now at this point, I'm sure
Sounds
everyone's
good.
like pretty aware of what's going on with alchemy, so just bear with me if you're familiar with this. To put this into perspective, this was announced on Thursday of last week, and this launches this week Thursday.
Oh shit,
December
that's really
9th.
fast around.
Alchemy is our new MTG Arena play mode. It's not just a set, it's an entire play mode. It's a format, basically, based on the standard format that incorporates new to digital magic alongside rebalanced standard cards to create a fast, ever-evolving experience for our players. So you know where this is going, yeah?
Sounds like we're getting ready to be Hearthstone, boys.
That's right, we are. We're getting ready to be Hearthstone. So there's three tiers to this. So one, an ever-evolving play mode. So this is the we're getting ready to be Hearthstone boys part. Build decks with standard cards, new to digital cards, and rebalanced cards in a new MTG Arena play mode that evolves as fast as our players. New to digital cards. Alchemy will launch with 63 new to digital magic cards featuring mechanics designed specifically for digital play, and players can expect more new cards alongside every standard set release. So we're going to get things like Perpetually and other things that, you know, seek cards from your deck or whatever can only be implemented online that get released alongside your standard sets, but only on Arena. And then rebalanced magic cards. So Alchemy features rebalanced versions of existing standard cards to shake up the meta for digital play. Players can expect these regular changes to the format to create a dynamic play experience between standard set releases. This happens pretty damn quick. So where, let's see, they're going to put the standard set out, and it's just a matter of like, I don't know, what is it, a week or something? You're going to start to see these rebalancing of the cards appear on the Alchemy format. And then at that point, there is going to be an exclusive paper standard. There's going to be an Alchemy standard online. And then there is going to be like the non-Alchemy standard. I do believe you can still play on Arena, but I can't imagine many people will be playing that one. Now, I also wonder, will anyone be playing paper standard at that point either?
I mean, I don't think the answer is... I don't see a world where the answer to that is yes.
Like I'm trying to imagine, like, before I even like give my own perspective on this, because I have like some kind of mixed feelings about this. I know there's some very extreme responses to this going on these days.
Sure.
I don't play a whole lot of standard, and on occasion I will sleeve up a deck and go play, but with this being around, I'll put together a deck on Arena, but I think there's about a 0% chance that I'd ever convert to playing a paper deck, knowing that the experience will be different, and I would have to basically kind of learn a whole new format to put together a paper deck versus what I've been training for, what I've been, you know, like kind of experiencing on Arena. So it's really strange, and I think that's the most unusual part of this whole thing, is just knowing that there's two completely unique environments. It's like there's two different dimensions of this, and they're like... They have nothing to do with each other except for the fact that the art is the same, really.
Yeah, I don't like that. That doesn't feel good.
It's
weird. I don't like the way that just doesn't feel good to me. Like, as far as like conceptual stuff, that feels really bad.
Yeah.
But I guess it's where we are. So, welcome to the show. I can't say I'm a fan. I'll just be honest about it. Cannot say I'm a fan.
Yeah, there's a lot, you know, like I said, there's a lot of negative reactions to that. Some of the rebalancing, they gave some examples of what the rebalancing would be. Standard is not in a great place right now. And there's a lot of like egregious, like in the past 12 months or so, Standard's been a lot of big mana strategies and like really pretty detrimental like turn strategies and like really like over the top, like, you know, just basically big mana control strategies have been pretty much dominating the format. It's seemed pretty nasty. So they've taken like Alrun's Epiphany, which is kind of like the poster child of the format, and they're trying to like basically nerf it a bit to make it playable in the format without having to ban it. And so the card, Alrun's Epiphany, for those that aren't familiar, is 7 mana. It's 5 blue-blue for sorcery. Take an extra turn after this one. If the spell was foretold, create 2 1-1 blue bird tokens with flying and exile Alrun's Epiphany. And the foretell cost was 4 blue-blue. Now, this was basically the win condition for a lot of these like big mana decks, because they just make a bunch of birds, and then they just take a bunch of extra turns, accrue, you know, like 2, 4, 6, 8 birds and like just clock you over the head with them in these turns. And that was like really mostly what they do. Like there's you know, some of these historic decks were like adding like Gearhulk to the mix. There's a couple extra creatures that were thrown in, but for the most part it's just like extra turns, flying birds, can't block them, you're dead. Okay. So sure. The way that you balance this card is you add one additional mana to the 4 tail cost, so it's now 7 instead of 6, and you call it a day. Let's see if that works. In the past, this would just be banned or restricted. Or not restricted, it would be suspended, I should say, in Historic. And players that had them in their collection would get reimbursed with a wild card if it was banned. But now what's going to happen is if this gets rebalanced in Alchemy, there's going to be no reimbursement at all.
Oh, that feels real bad.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all. this is not good at all.
So I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm not trying to like give my opinion on it because I really don't know what to think of it. Like it does feel bad to have a card banned, right? It does suck to have a card banned because not only do you lose out on the card that's been banned, but you also have like invested in the whole rest of the deck, right? So like that reimbursement is like, okay, yeah, here's 4 cards for the or 4 wild cards for the trouble of those 4 cards that we've taken from you, you know, that have been banned that are no longer playable. But that doesn't account for like the 11 other wild cards you've invested in, like the mana base and like all the other, you know, supporting cast, right? So that felt really shady in MTGO when there was like actual monetary value behind that and there was really nothing that could be done, or there's nothing that was done, I should say. So now there's like this potential where you can just like, tweak some, knobs and turn some knobs and things and see if we can like make something balanced so that you can still enjoy it. You can still play it. But is the thing that's going to happen that they just tweak these cards to the point where they're just not play it at all anymore? Or is there really truly a way that you can find a sweet spot where like Alrun's Epiphany, for example, is just a good enough card to consider for your deck, but it isn't overpowered and too prevalent? Because like the problem is truly just what it does, right? Like what amount of mana would make this card good, still playable, but not all over the damn place in Standard? You know what I mean? Like, how are they going to find that amount?
So the problem is not the cost. There's not a cost issue. So the issue is literally the line of text that gives you birds.
So apparently that's not going away.
Yeah. So like if they were to actually nerf this card, it would just be like, you cast it. If you foretell it, exile it. If you don't, put it in your graveyard.
Okay. Oh, also, let me also add, I screwed up, by the way, with this one. Previously, you get the birds when you cast it for its regular cost. You have to now foretell it to get the birds. So I need to make that clear, too. So the original one, you can pay 7, create 2 birds, get an extra turn. This one, you only get the 2 birds if you foretell it. So it is significantly harder to do. But you still get the birds either way. You still get the extra turn.
It's 9 mana for the birds.
Basically,
so
yeah.
I think the birds are the problem, though. Because, like, what it is they put it in a deck that has, like, fork. So, like, you cast this thing, you get your birds, you fork it, you get 2 extra turns and 4 birds. And your opponent just dies.
Right, yeah. That happens a lot.
So, like, the problem isn't the turn, because, like, if you have a fork in the format that has flashback even, and you take 3 extra turns, at some point you have to include a card in your deck that actually kills your opponent.
Right.
Whereas Alrun's Epiphany just gave you the way to kill your opponent without having to include another card in your deck.
Yeah, this does it all.
So like, yeah. So if they just took the birds off the card, it would fix it.
Yeah, so but that's the problem though, and that's kind of what I'm getting at, is like if they continue to tweak it until it's quote unquote fixed, then the card's just bad. You know, like then it's just a disappointment.
Time warp that exiles itself, yeah.
Yeah. So you know, it's like what problem are they solving? They're effectively banning it without reimbursement is what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Correct.
They're like, no, we're going to ban this card and we're going to give you a bad time warp.
Yeah, they're solving the problem of getting you to spend more money on the game.
That is what they're solving.
Okay, let me give you a couple more examples of some balance changes here.
Azuka's
Chariot.
Yeah.
You're familiar with this card? This card is all over green decks.
Isn't it like three and a green when it comes to play, makes some 2/2 cats, and then like you attack with it and it makes an extra token? Something like that?
Yeah,
is that
something
pretty close?
Like that. Something like that. I'll get it more specific because we're talking about a balance change here and how it's changed.
Right.
So it says, when enters the battlefield, create 2/2 green cat tokens. It has crew 4.
Yep.
When it attacks, create a token that's a copy of target token you control. All
right. So everything I said it did. I just didn't know what its power toughness was.
Yeah. You just had a little bit of a casual approach to that whole, like, you get a couple of cats kind of thing. I don't want to be really specific. But you're not wrong.
Come on, like, God. All right. Sorry.
This is like a super efficient, like, just a value generator. Like, it's basically a planeswalker, right? But the thing that it's very good at doing is making copies of Ren and seven token. Is it seven?
Yeah, it's Ren and seven.
Ren and seven tokens. I forgot which number Ren has with it nowadays. Are like huge, like
seven. But not broken one.
Yeah. which have power and toughness equal to number of lands you control. Anyhow, the balance fix for this guy now is it's same mana cost, still a 4/4. It only makes one cat token and crews for 2 instead of 4.
So it just doesn't have the create another token?
No, it still has that. It still has that. But it doesn't give you 2/2/2 cats. It gives you 1/2/2 cat, and it crews for half as much. So that one single cat can crew
but
it.
But it's still a 4/4?
It's still a 4/4.
And it's still 4 mana.
Yeah, so it's like debatably, it might even be considered better in some circumstances, right?
It's better. It's just better.
I don't know.
It's
literally just better.
It's literally just better because now you can like have your small knuckleheads crew it. It's like a better Heart of Kirin. Well, not better, but it's like an adjacent Heart of Kirin because like your crappy elves that are stuck laying around can now crew this thing.
Yeah.
Because like crew 4 is a very large expense, and so like you can kind of close the game with this thing when the board is empty and you draw like a couple elves or something, or you draw like you know a crappy 2/2. You can get it. You basically drew a 4/4 with haste.
That seems
better.
Well, here's the explanation on that, just for some clarity. We are looking to make Azika's Chariot easier to interact with using removal spells, as it generates too much value against 1/1 removal spells. So there's an awful lot of that in the format 1/1 removal spells.
Yeah.
So that's the thought. But you're right. Now it's easier to pilot it, you know, by just top decking a puny creature.
Yeah.
So that's the upside. Another one, Faceless Haven, is the snowland that can animate into a 4/3 for snow, snow, snow. It now becomes a 3/3.
That doesn't fix the problem with Faceless Haven that kind of ruins the format.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't, if you're thinking about the angel combo, that's not a factor. That card has been banned. Yeah. This is just a matter of like this card just being powerful.
Okay, fair enough.
It's the explanation being creatures with 4 toughness can profitably block the land now. So there's a lot of like Goldspan Dragon and stuff in the format and now can block it and survive. Speaking of Goldspan target, Goldspan Dragon, excuse me. Goldspan Dragon now has removed becomes the target of a spell. So Goldspan Dragon used to say, when Goldspan Dragon attacks or becomes the target of a spell, create a treasure token. Now it's just when it attacks, create a treasure token.
I mean, that's infinitely better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, infinitely worse, but fixes the problem, right?
Yes. Infinitely better as far as like, the card was very egregious, and now it's just, like, acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a pretty miserable experience to try to go up against that when they're like, oh, I always have counterspell mana against you, you know? Like, yeah. don't even bother, my friend. Here's another one. Luminarch Aspirant. At the beginning of combat on your turn, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control, is what it used to do. And now it says, at the beginning of your end step, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. So this one sucks big time for Historic because it was not an issue for Historic, but apparently this was an issue for Standard. And I am not in touch with Standard, so I don't know how this plays out in Standard. I know there's some weenie decks, but this was my boy in Historic. And being your end step is a huge nerf to this card. That sucks.
Yeah.
Now, the first turn you play it, I'm often just like passing and like, you know, putting the counter on this thing itself anyway. But after that, it's like, wow, it's kind of hurt.
Yeah.
So anyways, there's that. Here's a consideration for our Historic players as well. Omnath, Locus of Creation. Omnath costs one generic mana in addition to red, green, white, and blue. And scry one when entering the battlefield instead of draw a card.
Okay.
It's like a lot worse.
Yeah, it's extremely worse.
So it's like a whole five mana now to play this damn thing.
Yeah.
I think they want to make it playable in Historic is what's happening here.
Sounds like it.
And not OP. Cosmos Elixir. I wasn't even familiar with this card to begin with. This one is four mana for at the beginning of your end step, draw a card if your life total is greater than your starting life total, otherwise gain two life.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Okay, that was what it started with. Now it says at the beginning of your end step, draw a card if your life total is greater than your starting life total, otherwise you gain two life and scry one. This is an improvement.
It's better.
Yeah, they do that too. You like that?
That's a pretty good card for a control deck.
Yeah. Yeah, fancy, huh? All right, here's another improvement for you. Demolik is the blue 4/3 wizard skull from the D&D set that casts the instants and sorceries from a graveyard. Used to be a 4/3, now it's a 4/4. That's it. The only change. I think the thing is it can just more reliably attack and survive attacks, and you can use its ability more often, which I think is actually a big deal for this guy because you don't want to be blocked by, you know, like opposing Dragon Rage channelers and things like that, which I know they have to attack each turn, but there's certainly times where they can become three power creatures on your turn, or they can do it after their combat phase, or, you know, you've got opposing phoenixes or whatever coming after you. There's plenty of three power dudes that are going to get in the way of this guy.
Absolutely.
Class enchantments, druid class. Some of the class enchantments were improved. I think they want to see these things see some more play. These are huge changes to some of these. Druid class, it's level 3, used to cost 4 and a green. It now costs 2 and a green. And do you have any idea what this card does to begin with?
No, not at all.
Yeah, me neither. So this one just at a baseline says, when a land enters the battlefield under your control, you gain one life. Level 2 says, whenever you play you may play an additional land on each of your turns, and that costs 2 and a green to get to. And then level 3, which now is going to be changed to 3 mana instead of 5, says, whenever this class becomes level 3, target land you control becomes a creature with haste, and this creature's power and toughness are equal to the number of lands you control. It's still land.
Okay, that's not terrible.
Just kind of like a whatever. Like, maybe someone will play it now. It was just junk before. Wizard class is also improved. This is the last one here. Wizard class is 1 blue for an enchantment that says you have no maximum hand size. It's level 2, costs 2 and a blue. It says whenever this class becomes level 2, draw 2 cards. Nice. And it's level 3, which used to cost 5 mana, now will be costing 2 and a blue. It says whenever you draw a card, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know if this one will see play any more than it used to.
No.
And the very last one is Phylath, the World Sculptor. 4 red green for a 5/5 trample. This guy is the dude that whenever a land enters battlefield under your control, put 4 +1/+1 counters and target plant you control. It gains trample until end of turn. And when this guy comes into the battlefield, you put a 0/1 green plant token into play for each basic land you control. The addition is that it now gained trample, and the landfall trigger is the tokens gain trample.
Okay.
So that's quite a bit better than the initial just big, big, bulky elemental creature that could be chump blocked by 1/1s.
Yep.
So there you have it. Those are all the changes. There's some good things, some bad things. I jury's out on what this is going to look like. Like I said, very conflicted on the weird like multi-universe thing happening at the same time or multi-dimension. Like, you know, we can just completely ignore the paper players and say, okay, yeah, I got my own game. And I'm interested to see like how paper Magic attendance is going to happen over the next year or so. And if this continues on as a result of that, but maybe they just make so much money in Arena that it doesn't matter. I think that's probably more likely what the case is.
Yeah, but that'd be kind of terrible, because if they just kill the paper game, like, it kind of defeats the whole purpose.
Yeah, I mean, it's at least standard, though. Like, just the standard game just becomes completely digital. I think that's sort of what I expect, honestly.
Okay.
I mean, we play Modern in paper, we play Legacy in paper, but there's got to be a way to like get people into Modern and Legacy, and that is Standard, right? So that makes me a little concerned for the future of those formats. And so I almost wonder, like, is the grand plan like eventually that like Historic and Standard are like the formats for Magic, and like those other ones can just go die on a hill. it's kind of seeming to be where those are headed, unfortunately.
Doesn't feel good.
Anyways, thanks for listening. That's all we got this week. I we'll leave it at that. We can talk a little bit about those spoilers when they come out. I'm interested to try some of them. I haven't even really looked at them too much myself, honestly, but I'm sure we'll have a chance to play with some of them shortly, because the set's coming out this Thursday already.
Yep.
All right, talk to you later.
Later.
Modern Metacall is a production of CarnockLife.com, where you can find a selection of MTG content, both written and recorded. Looking for deck primers? We've got them. Interested in videos? Try our CKL Play series, where we take the most interesting decks appearing in published results for a spin through MTGO leagues. We've got a team of talented writers specializing in a variety of formats and archetypes. To keep up with Cardnock Life offerings, you can follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CardnockLifePodcast. Thanks is due to ManaTraders.com, MTGCast.com, and TheDiscard.com for their support in making this possible, and thank you for listening, commenting, sharing, and reading Cardnock Life content.